हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 30, Chapter 75. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, after taking his bath, King Yudhishthira, dressed in a new silken cloth and wrapper, and decorating himself with valuable jewelry, the king not only dressed himself and decorated himself, but also gave clothing and ornaments to all the priests and the others who had participated in the yajnas. In this way, he worshipped them all. Okay, so the priests and all others. So you have the priests themselves, which are, means the four positions themselves. You know, the Hotri, the Udgatri, the Advaryu, and the Brahma. So, but then all of their assistants and anybody then who, you know, all the Brahmins that helped within that process. Right?
Fasting is important for the priest as well as the yajna.
The fasting is important. The point is when you start a yajna, then you take a vow to take part in the yajna. That's why then Yudhishthira Maharaj is initiated into the yajna. Mm-hmm. So when they tie the thread and all that, then during that time, then you have to always be clean and different things like that. Certain things you can't do, and you are very careful. So that applies for the yajaman and the priests, or whoever they tie the string on. So sometimes it's a whole prestige thing; they want to be there and get the string. Hey, I'm the big guy, but it means you have to follow all the rules also. So it's like whoever wants, step forward. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's how it goes. In this way, he worshipped them all. He constantly worshipped his friends, his family members, his relatives, his well-wishers, and everyone present. So that would mean everybody else. And because he was a Vaishnava, a great devotee of Lord Narayana, he knew how to treat everyone well, because he sees everyone in connection to Krishna. That's how you treat everyone well. Right? So the devotee who sees everyone equally, because they see everyone connected to the Lord, they can actually deal, because they put in the attention. And at the same time as they can see the uniqueness of the individual. That's the specialness. Now, if you're attached, do you make a distinction of a position or not? It means you may, but you may not. You know what I'm saying? Because someone's in a position, you may give them a position more than what they deserve or less than, like that. You know, you're attached, so you just treat them as ordinary, or you're attached, so they're so special beyond something else. Let's say, once I was invited for lunch, showed up at the right time, but just at that time, then the baby needed to be fed, which is fine. But it's a new baby, and so then the mother goes to feed the baby, but then the grandmother also goes to feed, go to see that everything's all right, because it's a new thing and it's all special and all that. And so we as the guests just sat there. Nothing happened. Because the only other one there was, I think, the husband, but he wasn't the one cooking, he didn't know what's going on, all he knows is that I was coming over. So then we just sat there and talked. And then, after baby was fed, then the grandmother and mother came out, and the grandmother looked at me and very that smirk on her face said, "Baby first," like that. Then they went in the kitchen and did all their thing and all that, and got him to serve and do all those things. But now, technically, since they had invited, and you can't guarantee how babies when they're hungry or not. That's fine, but the grandmother there with the son-in-law then could have made the arrangements and done everything. because the baby doesn't need the grandmother to get fed. It really doesn't, you know, like that, you know, despite all, you know, theories that may be there. And so, therefore, it was that there, because of attachment, then that was more important than the guest. You know, so that's fine, but then during that period, don't invite guests. You know, just put all your attention in the kids and the family, and that's nice, and no one will complain. For 3 months, if you don't invite anyone over to your house, no one's going to complain. You know, and then after that, people are close. You know, they may come by and drop by, but otherwise, if during that time you don't do anything, no one's going to complain. So that's the whole point, is that due to attachment, they don't see everyone equally. So the point is, the point of seeing everyone equally means you have that, just what's the drive in dealing properly in a relationship? Attachment. But because it's attached to the individual, then it's not equal towards everyone else. So only the devotee, because their attachment's to Krishna, and everybody's seen in relationship to that attachment, then they can see everyone equally, that they will deal with them properly. But they can still distinguish, they're not illusioned by the attachment to Krishna, that they can tell the difference between the individuals they're dealing with, so according to their situation. So the main priest would get you know, special consideration over the other priests, and then those who are just assisting, because then each priest has so many assistants, and then there are guys that are just helping. You know, so everyone's going to get according to the position. Then it's going to be, as you said, great devotee of the Lord. Then it would be friends, family members, relatives, well-wishers, and everyone present. So he would know how to deal with every one of them. So only the Vaishnavs technically can do that perfectly. Somebody who's well-trained can do a quite good job, but it won't be as good because it doesn't have the drive. Why is the others doing it? Because of the religious element. You know, what benefits you can get from it, but not from that it pleases Krishna. That gives the best consideration across. You understand? So, you know, just as a side thing. So if we're looking for how to develop communities in that, it's develop devotional service. So you want a strong community, make them strong devotees and train them in the philosophy and culture of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if you just work on economics, you know, and that kind of thing, you will never get community. It's not going to happen. You know, unless it's the Chamber of Commerce, you know, that they're going to get together for business. But even then, you have to know how to behave properly. Yes.
Maharaj, in dealing with devotees, sometimes it seems that there is a conflict between being personal and being detached.
Yes.
Those two things, it's really difficult to combine.
It means on the material platform, yes, because it's karma or jnana. And you can get some interesting mixes of the two. But on the devotional platform, then that combination is standard. Because detached means you have nothing to gain yourself. It's only about what will please Krishna. So you're both dynamic and detached at the same time. You can be personal and detached at once. Well, in the material concept, then generally we're attached, therefore we can't be detached. But in the spiritual, we can be attached to Krishna and detached from the benefit we'll get. So in the material platform, we're attached to ourselves. And then all the other persons we're attached to are connected to ourselves. So that's the connection. So that doesn't work so well. But if it's the connection is Krishna's who we're attached to, then all these other aspects then blend together quite well.
Let's say, for example, we're doing service together with some other devotee, and we're both attached to our service to Krishna. It's not a personal attachment,
right.
So there's no conflict in there. But then, how we execute, or to what intensity we execute, there's a very, you know, big difference. Let's say. Mm-hmm. So then, if we approach from that point, then the other party can say, now you're impersonal, it's all about your service to Krishna, but what about my service to Krishna, because I'm also attached to that part, and it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, but then you can also say, yes, so what about your detachment from it? Why are you so impersonal that you're only seeing it as that the problem is your service? You know what I'm saying? The problem with The problem with these things is that the knife cuts both ways.
Yes, but then what happens usually in this kind of scenario is that service is not happening, or happens in, not in a perfect
yes.
way.
So that's why then personal means it's about Krishna, the person. Personal doesn't mean it's about you, because if you say you, then you have to identify that you're the body. You know, when you're not, you're the soul. So then what's the connection between 2/10,000th, the tip of the hairs that by proportion are like billions of miles apart? You know, though you're in the same room, right? Because by size, by proportion, you know, like that. So is therefore Krishna is the common element.
Yeah.
Because they're going to say my service, your service, so Krishna is a common. So what pleases Krishna in this? Because they're not mentioning Krishna. They're mentioning themselves. It's impersonal, meaning they're not worried if it's impersonal about Krishna. They're worried about it's impersonal about themselves. So therefore, that attachment's getting in the way of the service. So therefore, what is pleasing to Krishna? What's the best way? So that includes you're dealing nicely with the devotees.
Yes.
So that means then then something has to be adjusted so the other person feels that he's involved, but he can only expect the personal dealings up to what he deserves. He can't take it beyond that. He can't be trippy and then expect that it's your fault. You have to rise to the occasion because it's his right to be trippy.
So then if he is, then what we do?
Then you have to figure out of dividing, you know, how you say, divide and conquer. So you just, okay, what areas that he can work in to do, and what areas that you can do separately and do them completely separately, but they're part of one thing, so they work. And the things where the two have to meet, at that point, then you extend, you know, all your patience and tolerance and respect for others and no respect for yourself because it's for Krishna, because they can't do it. So that's why you minimize that instead of the whole package, just down to just where the Sunday is. So you try to divide it where you do these things and they do those things.
Because here in this story we see that Krishna very pleased with his pure devotees.
Yes.
And it's natural. The rasa
yes,
is flowing,
yes, yes.
The whole thing is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But then neophytes, they're willing to perform devotional service, but on their own terms.
Yes, that's what makes
like,
them neophytes.
Like a long list.
But that's what makes them a neophyte. So that's the point that has to be appreciated. That's why this modern approach of entitlement is very detrimental to the devotional process. You know, the point is they're trying to bring out the point of equality, of where you see all living entities equal. But that means you see all, the ones you like, the ones you don't like. So that is very different from entitlement, where I deserve to be dealt with in a particular way. Why that? Why not emphasize obligation? Like you see, you go back into time and things on certain levels work so nicely because they worked on obligation rather than entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And so obligation means I do my work, you do your work, and that way then it works. Rather than I get what I want, you get what you want. But because that is always going to be a fight. Because the point is that in entitlement, I can take up the whole space. But an obligation is how much I need. There's a great vast difference. It's just, you know, maybe a subtle point that's lost on the, you know, contemporary kind of approach. But the point is this whole thing is it's like trying to make a stand that attachment to the neophyte position and remaining there is the real devotional service. In fact, it's better than the Madhyama and Uttama Bhakti. And in fact, it will get you there, so you don't even need these others. You know, without Madhyama Bhakti, without the Madhyama platform and the Bhakti platform of Bhava, you'll get the prema just by attachment to your neophyte position. All the upadis, everything that makes you, your conditioned nature, what it is, you know, and anything more you want to add to it, because, you know, that's the thing, the sky is the limit. So you're not restricted by the Vedic version that, okay, if you're Brahmin, you have to act like one, you know, or a Kshatriya like this. No, I can act however I want and pick and choose however, whenever I want. like that. You know, it's like that. Does that make sense? So then because of that, then where's the detachment? Where's the, who's the yukta vairagya? Though they're trying to say that this is yukta vairagya, but it has no yukta and no vairagya. It has no basis in philosophy. It's just a modern, you know, philosophy of entitlement, you know, is perfection. So it's, I'm the center of the universe, and that's the way it is, and everyone's got to accept. You know, it's just like, you know, for example, I'm from an English-speaking country, right? I go to France. So I should be able to speak English, and they should be comfortably to reciprocate with me because I'm their guest, right? And that way I move around and all that, right? But now, if the Frenchman comes over to the English-speaking company, he better know English because it's an English country. Now, who doesn't know English? You know, like that. That's how you balance everything, right? Yeah, that's the, you know, perfect example. Yeah.
Just like they say this, when it is their duty to perform something, now it is equality to all. So they apply the card of equality.
Yes.
When they need to get something, now they are the victim. So
yeah. So you just play which card works. That's the whole problem, is that they're simply giving people tools to hold on to their upadis despite, you know, the process of devotional service. That's the difficulty. That's why it's very dangerous. And so when you deal in, if, you know, means others will just say it's wrong, it's Maya, they don't necessarily know why, but when you deal in these technical levels that you see from Vedanta Sutra, you see from, you know, getting, starting from, you know, these, as you go through the cantos, especially we'll see in 11th canto, then you start to see is that these have to be given up. This can't be the identity. You can tell what it is, because when we say it's all the same, it can't make the difference. That's Mayavadi impersonal. That's not, oh, you know, because we're trying to present it that that's personal. That's the fun part. It's not personal in any way, shape, or form. It's personal meaning just what I like as a person. But everybody else is a category. You know, I say everybody means who I like. And the ones that don't fit into or don't agree with what I like, they're outside of that. You don't have to apply these rules of being nice to everybody. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty that's there, is that you know, it's like where you say, yeah, the person who doesn't accept authority, if authority is speaking, they have the right to go there, you know, because of equalness to speak. You're speaking, I can speak. We have equal position. It may be your program, but I'm equal to you, so I can talk. And in fact, it should be I can do all the talking, because otherwise if you talk, then you're just extending your authority and taking advantage of us poor, simple guys who, you know, made a great endeavor to drive 3 hours to get to your program and crash in and make such a scene. Right? So, like that. But at the same time, is let's say this person who doesn't have a problem, who has a problem with authority, if he's having a program and speaking against authority, use authority, can't say anything. You know what I'm saying? So, it's totally not equal, totally not balanced, totally not personal. But it's based, the wording used and the concepts are based on personal things, but you're using them bad. It's like sahajas. It's based on something good, but, you know, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, like that. So that's the whole thing. It sounds good, but, you know, that's what we're dealing with, all those philosophies. You know, Shankya sounds good, but it's bogus. You know? Because it's not about devotion. They use all the right words, yoga especially, everybody does yoga. You know, they use all the right words and all that. So,
yeah, it's like you know, friends from France that they proclaim fraternity, equity, and liberty. But actually, the culture after that was destroyed, and then they brought everybody on the level of Shudra.
Yeah,
it sounds great.
It sounds great.
But what happened after? It's just a mess.
It's just a mess. And in that, just as a technical point, is that to get to that point of equity, fraternity, liberty means at that point you're talking about anybody who is a bourgeois, mm-hmm. right? Anybody above that, you has to be destroyed, and everybody below that works for that. You know, because it's about equity, fraternity, liberty. Who's going to do that? The bourgeois will lead that, and then everybody else follows. And, the, you know, and where they fit in and this and that. That's why then you can take it how much you want to the left or, you know, how much you want to, you know, it's just, you can do anything with it. It's smart. You know, that's why when it comes to politics, then, you know, in the Western world, it's the French who are the leaders. I don't know, is it still that same now? Before it was very much, they were the prominent. Is it still there quite prominent? Huh? Less now. Okay. Yeah, it was the language for it. This is what we use. That means everything that whatever was decided there was the standard for the world. Now I think maybe it's a little bit more. They have influence more in continental Europe. But before it was like, you know, just the whole Western world. It was just politics meant France. You know, so, you know, so that way they shoot themselves in their own foot, you know, so, you know, like that. But whatever it is, but they did it with style. You know, like that. That's the problem. All these things, if it's not pure devotional service, it always is going to have a problem. Some would be more sophisticated, less. Some you see the problem earlier, some much later. You know, so all these things, like here, it's only, you're seeing it, you know, they came up with this in the, you know, late 1700s. You're only noticing it now. You know, so that's like, you know, more than 200 years. But this modern kind of contemporary way of this, you know, entitlement and all this, you know, just some years, 50 years, people are already starting to see the problem. So it's much less sophisticated. Mm-hmm. Like that. So you just have to see what it is everybody can do. Now, you can adjust. They can't adjust. You adjust. Because it's service to Krishna. You get the benefit for that. And they get the benefit for doing what they can. You can't adjust. They can't adjust. And try to do what you can to make it so you don't kill each other. You know? But the whole point is who can adjust, they should adjust. You know, that's the point, is that you can do it, they can't, so it's not a matter of, it's all equal. You know? It's everybody plays their part. So you do the particular service, that's on the external, the knowledge and skill, but you can also, as character, do certain things they can't, so that's where you adjust. So,
yeah. You mentioned it, and I understood that their concept of equality is to give equal opportunity to hang on everybody's attachment.
Yeah, everyone can keep their attachment. So it's equal opportunity for anybody who agrees with their philosophy. You know, that it's you know, it's straightforward. You agree? Welcome. You don't agree? Then, you know, eternal damnation. But, you know, we didn't say they weren't religious. So that's the thing is that everybody can hold on to their attachments, and everybody should respect those attachments as long as it's coming. Their attachments are based on their own mind, right? If it's based on some tradition or some authority, they're the ones that aren't equal, right? Does that make sense? So it's like, if someone doesn't agree, then you're going to go, but Shastra says this, why you're doing this. But for themselves, they won't follow this. No, because this, we're from this, we're like this, you know. In other words, you have to live within authority. If there's any discrepancy, then you're thrown out on that. And we, because we're not, you know, then we're the, you know, we get all the benefits. So we get all the benefits of being the, how do you call it, plebeians? Is that the word? Plebeian? Must have a French root there. English word, it just means the plebeian?
Plebeians.
Plebeians?
Yeah.
Plebeians, okay. Yeah, and it's just in American, at least you put all the emphasis on the second syllable. Plebeians rather than plebeian. You know, like that, you know. So that just means the common people. Right? But what we want, you know, so we get all that benefit of just, you know, what to do, you know, just like that, we're trying. Like, at the same time, they can have full authority, dictatorial authority over everyone. So that's the whole point, is it's just, it's mental. It's just whatever you feel like at the time. So that's the point, is if you've come up with it, you're attached to it, it's based solely on your attachment, then you're part of the group that is equal, and why they can't do this, why that, why you're restricting this and that. But if you're coming from an authority line, then no, you're wrong. then it's like you hold you to this. There's one little discrepancy, you're thrown out. Everyone else, you can have an ocean of faults, but there's one good point. You know, why can't you see? You know, I say.
Maharaj, the interesting aspect in this is their generation, for a few years they may follow, but within 3-4 years, the next people, they have a different...
Yeah, it's changing so much quicker. Before, it was the generation went 10 years, then you could say that it was like this. Now it's that's quick. And that's kind of the slower outside of it. Other than that, it's changing in 6 months.
Yes.
You know, the language and stuff like that. And even that would be kind. You know, before you said, oh, that's so last year or something. You know, it's like, oh, that's so last week. You know, yeah, things move on. Yes. So we can see is that these are just aspects of the same philosophy that is being presented, what they don't accept the authority of the Vedas other than how it establishes their position. So if something from the Shastra supports their position, then that will be taken very strongly. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't matter because it's not important because, you know, how you say, equity, fraternity, liberty is more important. That's the real thing. Now, if Shastra agrees with that, good. And then we'll take it, you know. But if it doesn't, then this is, so it's the same, you can see it's the same philosophy. It's just not as sophisticated. It's not based on the scriptures. They don't, you know, they don't know all the logic. And they'll use, the ones that are good at it, use a logic to break things down. Because ultimately, it comes down to if you use logic and defeat them, then you're abusive. And so they can, you know, move into the victim. But as soon as then there's a weakness on yours, then they can come out as a, you know, be aggressive. But if you, so that's the whole thing. It's designed so that they're unassailable. So all this thing of that transparency and all that means for everybody else, not them. Because it makes their position, you know, more dictatorial than, you know, you name it who the dictator is. You know, whoever it was in history, it's more than that. Just that they try to do it nicely to your face. But behind your back, it's no different. So that's the problem, is that all these, the root of all this we see in the Vedic literature itself. It's already explained. So it's nothing new. So we see here is the effect of not acting on that platform. Because the idea is that will create, this philosophy will create this nice community because it's all equal. But we see it's not. It's getting more and more broken down into smaller and smaller groups. You know? Like that. It's like before you just had, you know, you had the sports guys and girls, you know, that were, you know, smart and all this and that and, you know, like this. And then you had kind of everybody else. You know, and then you kind of, with time, then you had the, you know, you had the nerds. And then you had the sports guys and then you had everybody else. And now it's, you have these three and then you have, you know, it just keeps on going. You know, it's like it breaks down into little groups. So it gets more and more small. Though they're talking universal, it's becoming more and more divided. While in the Vedic, you can see is that you have everyone from the whole universe coming to Yudhishthira Maharaj's. Now that's universal. You know, literally. You know? And they're all pleased because that devotional culture works for everybody anywhere. It doesn't matter. What's that? I noticed it's interesting. Yeah, just okay.
Quantum.
Sorry.
Quantum superstate of being aggressor as well as victim at the same time, and it shifts at any time.
Yeah. No, it's a well designed philosophy, but it can only be there when there's no authority, because authority automatically shows the weakness. Because then there's a standard. What does authority mean? There's a standard. And so then how I'm going to act in any moment, I can switch it back and forth however I like by being myself authority or victim. Not based on a standard. It's what I feel like at the time. So authority is the enemy of this modern philosophy. So that's why then all these things about the Vedic version and, oh, it's not for us and all this stuff, it's just these are subtleties of that system. But at the same time, saying it's just all about authority, it's not about the individual, that's the mistake in the other direction. That's the other side of Niyamagraha. It's the form of it, not the mood of it. While the other is that you have the mood but no form. So you have to have mood and form. So when it comes to mood, the liberals will agree with what we're saying. When it comes to form, the conservatives will agree with what we're saying. So that's why they can't really figure out who we are. You know, we don't fit in the... I remember talking one thing to some lady who is, you know, kind of an activist and all that. Devotee, nice devotee. And all that, and I was making some statement because I was talking about the form. And she suddenly stopped and goes, "Wow, I didn't realize that you're a conservative." And then I started to explain how it applied and all this and the moods and all that, and there's, so then you're liberal. They couldn't figure it out. So it's just a matter of whether you're talking form or mood, then you're either liberal or conservative. But that's the point, is that's what we mean by when we say the razor's edge, it's in the middle. The sahajis and the smartas, they're on the both sides. So liberals and conservatives, they're off the edge. So on the edge, that's the real thing. And so that's not a compromise, it's the absolute truth. The modern thing is, we'll compromise, that'll bring us to the middle ground. That's not actually the absolute truth. That's just compromising the secondary. Right? You compromise some form, I compromise some of the mood, and then we'll come to a working place. But here it's like in Krishna consciousness, because it's about Krishna, the standard is Krishna, and that it doesn't compromise either. That's the beauty of it. That's why it doesn't matter where you are, they can like you. The devotee is universally liked. You know, it's like the in the prayer of the Goswamis.
Dira
Janapriya. Mm-hmm. The cultured people and the ruffian. Yeah, Prabhupada uses. They all like them. Like that. So that's the position. So we see, that's why they knew that Yudhishthira Maharaj can do it. It's not amazing. It's amazing what he's doing, but it's not amazing that he's doing it. So when they say it's not amazing, doesn't mean they're making it less. It's amazing what's going on, but that he does it, that's not amazing. Why? Because he's a devotee of the Lord. So that's the position. He can discriminate. He can see everyone equally, so he deals with them according to their position. Does that make sense? So that's how it works. And, you know, so the easiest thing is you adjust. You try to adjust the world, like the modern philosophy, you'll never be satisfied. And you'll have very few friends. And even they'll be superficial.
From his side, he's Ajatashatru. From his side, there is
Yes, that's a good example. He's a jata shatru, means no enemy has been born that he would consider an enemy. Doesn't mean that people don't consider, he consider him an enemy, but he considers no one to be an enemy. So that's why then that was Krishna's idea. By going there, he brings out the glory of his devotee. And his devotee's thinking, by having this sacrifice, I can bring out the glory of Krishna. And then the mechanics of it, you had to kill Jarasandha, and that's going to be good for the Yagyas, so that'll be good for Yudhishthira, and it'll get rid of all the problems, it'll be good for the Yadu dynasty, because he doesn't like the Yadu dynasty. And, you know, it'll be good for the kings that are being harassed by him. Right? Does that make sense? So that's then what you... The Mayavadi philosopher's endeavor to see everyone as God is an artificial attempt at oneness. But a Vaishnava or a devotee of Lord Narayana sees every living entity as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, right? So that's how he knew how to treat everyone well. Because if everything's about Krishna, then Krishna having unlimited variety, unlimited opulences, and he's in control of that, then that means each of his opulences you have to deal with according to the control of the Lord. In other words, the law of the Lord. So though I'm dealing equally with everyone means I deal with them all according to how they should be dealt with, but the standard for each dealing is according to the Lord. So unless you know the Lord, you can't deal on etiquette to this degree that Yudhishthira Maharaj is. Right? So devotees can, non-devotees can't. They can, by their experience, expand it a lot, but they can't make it universal. Yes.
It sounds also like this kind of dealing is minimum medium platform. And
yes, that's where you see it starting. It means the neophyte may be a nice guy, so he can deal nicely, and he can appreciate being nice, so he'll try, and in certain situations he can do it, and in certain situations he can't, or he can do it temporarily, like you go to the temple and smile and all that, but then when you go home, then, close the door, and put on all the latches and, like that, and then, don't want to see anybody because they all drive you nuts. So, point is, but that if you're doing that because it's nice to be nice, then you'll just go on being nice. But if you're doing that trying to be nice because that's the standard, though it's hard for you to do, you make advancement. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but the madhyama means they're doing it because this is what should be done for Krishna. Right? And even if it's just coming naturally, it's not intellectual, just by the force of their devotional service, all the good qualities are developing, so just naturally are acting very nicely. Like that. So it's just a matter of, you can tell the difference between a guy who's nice, that it's good business. A guy who's nice because he's just sentimental. And a guy who's nice, because you're supposed to be. And a guy who's nice because he is. Because of devotion.
Yeah.
You can tell all the differences there. But the point is because being nice is one of the Vedic principles, all of them are going to get benefit in their area. And now if any of those areas are connected to Krishna, then it will expand and the devotional niceness will expand in all of them. Like that. So even though, maybe he's a cutthroat businessman who's got the best crocodile grin in the universe, but with time, then you'll see it'll be real. He'll really deal. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't know how to not get, he can make his deal and not get in trouble. But he'll be more real, and that'll change the mood of those he deals with. They'll start dealing with him more properly. Okay.
Can you say that the concept of absolute oneness and absolute difference is non-existent?
The principle of?
Absolute oneness.
Absolute oneness is that there's no such thing as absolute oneness.
Yeah.
It's one and difference simultaneously and inconceivably. So that's why we say, that's why we don't have a problem with monism, we have a problem with exclusive monism. So when we talk about monists, monists are exclusive monism, philosophers. So we have a problem with that. But monism is part of our philosophy. They're one and different. Otherwise, if they're not, it's like this. This rock and this page, they're different, but there's a oneness that they can match and work together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could use something else, okay? This flower, it's much nicer than the rock. But there's no other connection because this is the smell, this is the weight. So this is lightweight, this is heavier weight. So that's where the commonness is. The commonness is weight, but it's different because one's heavy, one's light. Flowers, it's not about weight. Unless you're buying that wholesale. Right? So then it's about their color, their smell, their fragrance. So therefore, yes, it could go here as a decoration because the white flower on the white, but then you can't see it, so I'll put it on the pink there and then that'll bring it out. But then, Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Therefore, a Vaishnava's treatment of other living entities is on the absolute platform. Right? So that's what brings it together. Right? Because we've been having the whole explanation here about his position, how he's doing, the details of what's going on and all that, so we can see the application. So now it's bringing out, why can he do this? Therefore, is on the absolute platform because he sees everything from the absolute standard. As one cannot treat one part of his body different from another because they all belong to the same body, a Vaishnava does not see a human being as distinct from an animal because in both he sees the soul and the super soul seated together. Right? So that's then how it'll be applied. Right? So that is the application of the point of them seeing it equal. Right? Because that's the theory that's going on here. But then we see is then we've shown all the different things, and so he can apply it. And then what is he doing? Being distinct from an animal, and the soul, he sees the difference, that they're the same, and that they're all souls in that, but he deals with the animal as the animal needs to be dealt with. He deals with the human as the human needs to be dealt with. You know, the tree as the tree needs to be dealt with. All these like this. So that's how it's done. Does that make sense? So the conclusion we see here then is including the application. Right? So that's, what is that? Nirnaya. Yeah. So so when we're using the aspect of the conclusion, then we're bringing out the application, then you do it here. If we're just defeating the point and bringing it around where our point stands, then we would simply say Siddhanta. Does that make sense? But when we're taking it and showing the whole process, that will be this. So you see, sometimes they use the whole thing like that, sometimes they use it very lightly. They emphasize wherever it needs to be emphasized. Means from therefore. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. From in this way, then that's the Upanaya. Yeah. And then before that, that's the other explanations. Therefore, because you see it said yeah. Or you can say is therefore is that, and then it's here. But the point is that you'll always see in these bigger purports that use the full explanation where you can clearly identify all the panchanga nyaya. You'll generally always see a therefore or thus, used at the end. You'll see them both generally. One uses thus, one uses therefore. Like that. Yeah, but you also see thus used. Yeah. So the point is they both do because they're concluding. Mm-hmm. One is bringing near the conclusion, and one is concluding. So they have that.
When we, for example, go to Nirnaya, which is a bit bigger than Siddhanta, which we don't need to go to Siddhanta also.
No, the Siddhanta is there, it's included. It just means that you don't necessarily have to take it forward. It's just like you see is that Vedanta Sutra, in some places he takes it forward, some places he just establishes that, this is what it is. You have Veda, the Shastra, is authority. And so then he shows how it has to be authority. And so it concludes there. Now, the application of that, that will come in later ones. So the whole point is you're having, in each one, you're applying the Adhikarana at the same time as you're doing it over a bigger. So the one verse has its aspect, how it's working. These group of verses have theirs. The chapter has, the pada has this, the chapter, the groups of the chapters, the whole thing has like that. So you have to be able to see it in the bigger, how it's working. This is just the tools that you're working with. It's just like, okay, you're cooking. Then you have, the opening of how you apply spicing with oil into the preparation. Then you have those that are added in during the boiling. Then you have those that are putting it in at the end. So you have those kind of three places you can put. So now what detail is going to be in that preparation? And then you see is every preparation you're doing that. So isn't that repetitive? Couldn't we do it just once? Just do one thing with all the spices, throw everything in and then put the final, thing on the top, Does that make sense? So I'm putting the, I'll put the garam masala, I'll put the coriander, dry roasted cumin seed powder, I'll put the dhanyapata, I'll put the hundreds and thousands, and all that, because you were getting the whole package there. Right? So that's the whole thing, is we complain, why can't it be more simple? No, because we're just saying that it's simple, this is what tools you're using. Then they're going to be just turning over and over, that's what's being used. They're not using something else. Does that make sense? So when you're showing that just the presentation, the panchanga nyaya is what's being, you use those terms. And in that you can deal with argument, because the panchanga nyaya is complete. Right? Now, when you're emphasizing the point of back and forth between your point, their reasons, your defeat of that, then your thing, then going back and forth, then you'll use the vishaya and shamshaya and purvapaksha, uttara, like that. And so then having done that, then having got that out of the way, then you have Siddhanta. understand. But it's the same tools. It's just that what you're emphasizing, you call it something different. But it's not a different tool. So that's the confusion, as we think because we're in the world of names, so it's about the name, and that's the total thing. But no, it's the principle that it works on. That's why it has the name. It's just like, let's say, you're in a formal environment. Then you may go get your car. But let's say you're in an informal environment, then you may get your ride. Are they different? But the flavors they carry in the application is different, but they're the same exact thing. You understand? So that's what has to be appreciated. Otherwise, we're always like, no, but they're different. They're not. They're absolutely not. We have to get over that and get on with it.
Then can you say that Nirnaya is including the Siddhanta?
Nirnaya includes the Siddhanta, because without Siddhanta, how would it be a Nirnaya? But the Siddhanta doesn't necessarily have to take it on and make all the Sangatis and all those kind of things. It just has to conclude the point that you defeated the argument that was presented. Please. Try to understand, because you're taking the words. See, we don't want to have a repeat. You have to understand that words are a medium for concepts that create experiences. Right? In other words, a noun is the form that therefore is the result of, or that can create, or is used in the use of verbs. That's why verb is the central of the words, and all the primary nouns surround that, and then the secondary nouns then are supporting the primary nouns. You know, or they can also support the verb. But no, generally they don't. So, the whole idea is that you have to understand is what is being accomplished here. And if we simply go on the word and go, oh, it means just this, first get the concept, then come down. You're trying to ascend through the language barrier, and it won't be understood. You have to take the principle that it's working on and then apply that down. Because you're trying to get the word nailed down, and then I can understand the concept. You'll only understand those words when you understand the concept. You understand? I've been watching devotees, when they actually try to work on this and create courses on logic and all that, they can't. And I'm talking about smart people. And what's their main stumbling block? They can't tell the difference between how Vyasadeva's using the system in Vedanta Sutra and how Gautam is explaining it and how Prabhupada then uses the same terms. That exact point. So therefore, we haven't had a course in this for the last, you could say, 15 years because of this exact point. Why? Because we want the words have to do it. No, it has to. You have to go, what's the point that's being made? Then apply that into the words. It's synonyms. They're synonyms. So what's the common point of the synonym? We're taking the I know exactly this word and that word, and then that makes the words a connection. But it only becomes a synonym when you understand the principle on which it's based. So when I understand it's a vehicle, you know, at least a four-wheeled vehicle, then I can call it a car, I can call it wheels, I can call it my ride, you know, like that. I can call it so many things because I understand that principle. But if I'm going, so the automobile, so there's one in the formal like that, so that means more the, you know, like a Continental or, you know, a Mercedes, you know, the bigger ones and all that, that's what it means. But wheels, then that's more of my, let's say, my sporty kind of car and things like that. No, it doesn't mean that at all. Those may apply. That when I'm going to a place where I have to take my car, and I can only refer to it as a car, I may take the Mercedes. And when I'm going to go out for a spin, I'm going to take the Alfa Romeo. But that doesn't mean that I couldn't show up at the business thing with my Alfa Romeo or take my Mercedes out for a spin. So this is where the crux of this problem comes, is because We're trying to identify the whole process by the words rather than the concepts that the words are representing. And we're refusing to see synonyms. So until we understand the principle, because I'm telling you the concept, it has this. So does it have, yeah, of course. So does the, he's going to get his car, so does it have four wheels? Yes. Does it have an engine? Yes. Does it have a steering wheel? Yeah. Does it have doors? Yes. But the Alfa Romeo has all that also, so what's the difference? Why is he calling it a car instead of his wheels? I mean, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to it. So please at this point understand. Okay? Because dropping to this level of discussion is highly unappreciated by ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yes. So when we speak about Panchangamyan,
yes,
to people and try to understand, so we actually can say in general that we can use any of those systems. Yas, Gautama, or whatever.
They're the same system.
Just different terms.
It's different terms of the same thing. It's just you're bringing out. It just means, since you're using less terminology, when I say Vishaya, I mean I include my theory and my reasoning. So the Pratigya and the Hetu are included. Right? Then they're going to make their point, because they can't make an argument on my thesis only until I explained it. You know? Like if I say, there is a Supreme, is there any argument? Nothing at all. So if I say, and that Supreme is Krishna, now we have an argument. You understand? So until my reason comes, there is no argument. That's why Hetu can both mean the thesis of the person who's arguing, but it also means our reason. This is why it's so confusing, because we're not accepting that it's this one thing you're describing, but from my, what I'm dealing, I'm making a presentation, I'm presenting Panchanganyaya. But the Panchanganyaya allows other people to take part in the whole process, just like we're doing here. And so then when they, and they're only going to come up with a doubt when we say our reason. That's why it's shifted. We can go, but they're saying, they're also using Panchanganyaya, why aren't we putting them together equally? No, because only once we say, then it shifts. Right? And so then we're going to, then because of that, we're going to give the Upadana. We're going to give our explanation, which is for defeating all arguments. So that means Upadana includes all of our Uttaras. And in that explanation, we'll give their Shamsayas and Purvapakshas and all that, and we'll counter it. So their points and counter is all going on in its dynamic point in the Upadana. Right, and so then, having shown that what we're talking about and what they're talking about are the same, see, that's why I'm saying is you have to catch this, otherwise you can't catch it. Is you're not defeating their philosophy. You're saying, but you're showing that what they're looking for, the higher principle of what they're doing, they're using mechanics, and most people argue over the mechanics. But why use the mechanics? There's a higher principle. So the higher principle that we're using already covers the higher principle that they're given. They're the same. They're just using a different mechanics. Our mechanics are better. That's what's recommended. So that they want to analyze the universe, or they want to be able to control the mind through the yoga system, we don't have any problem with that. But where they don't accept Shastra, where it disagrees with their idea of what it should be, that has to be removed. So in other words, you want liberation. You want to get that through analyzation, controlling the mind. Bhakti already includes that. So that's the thing, is you have to accept it's not two different things. There's bhakti, and then there's a portion of it being misapplied. So that's why, that's actually the form of it. Right? And so then you're going to, that's the synthesis. Right? Where you're going to bring near. So you're going to show them how what they're doing, right, is bringing it near. Oh, okay. You know, just like it says. Therefore, a Vaishnava's treatment of living entities on the absolute platform, that brings it near, right? And then we're going to say, as one can treat, you know, you give the explanation and all that, and so then a Vaishnava does not see human beings distinct from an entity. He doesn't see that. So that's where the application is. It's all in the absolute form, because He sees everything in connection with the Lord. Is that okay? So then it comes out, you make a conclusion, and you'll show them, take it a step further, now that you have some understanding, then how you would apply it. And then that's the complete thing. So all these things of Vishaya, Shamshaya, Purvapaksha, Uttara, Siddhanta, these are all just details within this, what's going on in the process, but these are the structure that is going on. They're not a problem. Does that make sense? So that's the thing that has to be seen here, is that they're overlapping. They're just it's something, it's within that concept that is something quite specific, you know, to an argument. Therefore, you use those terms so you know it's an argument. Is that what I'm saying? That's why they're used. Otherwise, the Panchanga Nyaya is a presentation, but it includes, because it's logic, it includes Tarka. But it's not about Tarka. It's about the Siddhanta, coming to the conclusion. So if on all that you come to a conclusion, then you've used those five in the proper way. If by going through that you simply defeated the opponent, you just got to, what is it? What's it? Nigrahastan? Nigrahastan, you just squash. You know, then, okay, you won. But you lost, because where's the Siddhanta?
Nigrahastan is when I accept my own defeat.
I accept my own defeat. Okay. But then how did you get there?
The other person defeated.
Yeah, but there's something that means that you... Yeah, it just means that you make the point that they are...
Vitanda is just arguing for the sake of defeating.
No, but that's there. I'm talking about is that until they accept defeat, you haven't defeated them. So even if you have defeated them, until they accept, they're not defeated. Mm-hmm. But the point is how did you defeat? You set a point that worked. Not that you hadn't been saying it. Just like, let's say, on this point, this subtle point. Let's not go there. You presented it from so many ways, you've defeated the argument in so many ways, everybody in the room understands it's been defeated, but the person you're discussing with does not. Then finally you say something, use an example or something that they caught. Now they'll say they're defeated. So just that they accepted defeat, but what about, why did they accept? Because you presented this. So the point is it has to be you presented the argument that they accepted. So, then that means it's not that I accepted defeat. That's then what it was. It means the other person has to act. But at the same time, it's not that just because you said the right thing doesn't mean that it's now you've concluded it until they accept it. Does that make sense? So they both go, because it's all about relationship and interaction. We're taking it in boxes. It's this box or it's that box. No, it's the two boxes together. It has these two aspects. You know, I mean, does it drive me to the place or is it comfortable? You know, why would you have a rolls? It's comfortable. It'll get you there like anything else. You know what I'm saying? You know, why the little two-door hatchback that you need a shoehorn to get into, then is not comfortable, but it gets you there. So the point is getting you there, which is the purpose of the vehicle. They both are therefore called vehicles, but one's comfortable and one's not. You know, or one is, you know, very nice for parking, one's not. You know, parking a stretch limo, you know, is hard to do. Parking, you know, one of those little two-door smarts, that's easy. You know, as soon as the motorcycle pulls out, you just drive in. Right? You know, it works. You know. So that's the thing. But so you have to be able to see that bigger thing that's there. It's a package, not that. But it was here. But over here it says this. Yeah. But what goes above it? Because that's the only way to conclude. Is that, in other words, if you see two words that are supposed to be the same and you can't see the connection, what's the common point between them? Rather than look at the difference. No, you already know the difference. But look at what's common. That will resolve it. But because no, it's got to be what's the difference? It's two different words. It's got two different meanings. Then we got a problem.
Someone shared with me that Siddhanta is basically a particular rule.
A particular rule.
And Nirna is, you know, putting into practice that. So it's basically the same thing. One is theory and one is
that's there. You do have is yes, but what means why would it be like that? Because nir naya means they've accepted that they've been defeated. So that means if they accept, that means then they can apply it now. But the siddhanta is actually what you're applying. So unless you have the siddhanta, then there's no meaning to the nir naya, because it means if you come up, you haven't presented siddhanta. It's just some bogus philosophy, and they've accepted defeat. Now they take up your bogus philosophy. They apply your bogus philosophy. They haven't applied siddhanta. So siddhanta means, you know, the Vedic version. It doesn't mean anything else. Everything else you can call it for sake of like that, but it's not actually. You know, just like liberation. Only Vaishnava is actually liberation. So.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura ki.